We went in with one idea, and that idea being 100% transparency. And I think that is the best thing you can do. They say that sunlight is the most perfect antiseptic, and I think that's true. When we went in, the former governors had never put their flight log up on the web. We not only tell you where we go, we tell you who's on the plane, we tell you the reason we're going. We did the same thing with the contingency fund that the governors had. No one ever wanted to disclose it. Every dime that we have ever spent there is now 100% disclosure. You can go up on the web and find out. But we took it a step further. We said that everyone in the state of Alabama should know where every dime is spent in the state of Alabama. So for the first time, we took the checkbook and put it online. And I think we're one of the few states that have done that.
Given what's just happened in the legislature, though, or with these legislators who are part of this indictment, we went out here on University Boulevard and asked people, is state government more ethical now versus 8 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
Sure.
And what do you think the answer would be?
Did we do a good job of publicizing everything that we've done right? I don't know. I'm not too sure you'll ever get putting the checkbook online as something that's going to be on the front page of the Birmingham News, but it should be. And again, someone asked me the other day, when you look at this, doesn't this hurt Alabama? Just this constant barrage of people offering allegedly $1 million a year for your vote or $2 million for a vote. And I told them, I said, no, I really don't think so. I said, I don't think that hurts. What hurts is when you don't try to do something about it, when it's not exposed. As long as the reputation is that we're doing everything we can to root it out in every instance, then I really don't think it hurts.
You've spoken very forcefully and very passionately about the corrupting influence of gambling in this state. There is an argument out there. This is put forth by folks, especially like Ron Sparks, who say gambling exists in this state. It will be here in some form. Alabamians go elsewhere to gamble, to buy lottery tickets.
Yeah, I know.
And the best thing for the state to do is to legalize and tax it.
You know, everybody's going to have an opinion about whether or not you could do it or should do it. I have one. And if you look at these epicenters of gambling in the state of Alabama today, if you go to Macon County, if you go over to Greene County, I'm not too sure that's an economic model for those counties that you would want to try to replicate in the other 65 counties. You can make that same argument about use of cocaine. Are people using it? Absolutely. Should we legalize it? I don't think so. You can make the same argument, I guess, about prostitution. Is it here? Sure. Has it always been here? Yes. Do you want to legalize it? No. I think it comes down to a fundamental choice. Do you think gambling is good or bad for the state? I think it would be bad for the state. But that's not the most important question. Most important question is, do you ever get to the point that you are going to allow something that is absolutely blatantly illegal to go on just because of the people who own it? That was the question.
There are a lot of moneyed interests in Alabama politics. The Alabama Education Association, Alabama Farmers Federation, there are all these PACs moving money back and forth between one another. How do you think gambling is any more corrosive or pervasive than any of those other influences that exist in this state?
Just the sheer amount of money. I would imagine most of these PACs that you talk about, and this is just off the top of my head, but I would imagine most of those PACs are going to generate a few million dollars a year. But when it gets to the point that you have enough money, and just from court testimony where people are making $150 million a year, and it is totally unrestricted on how much they can give to individual candidates, then it becomes a corrupting influence unlike anything we have ever seen in the state of Alabama. But there is a reason that people don't have these casinos. It's because of all the devastating things that happen when they come into a community. There's a lot of people out there, especially when you have tight budgets, that say we need to be flexible on what we believe. Well, maybe. And if that ever happens, then vote on it. And if the people in Alabama say that they want it, that's fine. But don't vote on something like they were trying to push through. This Sweet Home Alabama plan, that was undoubtedly the most corrupt piece of legislation I have ever seen in my life. This was about giving an absolute perpetual monopoly to four or five people in this state. I think that is just blatantly wrong.
You've set up a Gulf Coast Recovery Commission to come up with a recovery plan for the Gulf region in Alabama.
Yeah.
The president also has former Mississippi Governor Ray Mabus that's developing this kind of comprehensive plan for the entire Gulf region. You know, if you look at post-Katrina New Orleans, there were all these plans and proposals. Many, if not all of them, didn't come to fruition. Why should Gulf Coast residents believe that whatever plan comes out of your efforts or the federal government's efforts will succeed?
The only thing that I'm asking is for a commission of people who live in Mobile and Baldwin County to get together and say, all right, assume for a moment that there is a half a billion or $1 billion within the next year that's going to be allocated down to those Gulf Coast communities. You've got a new governor that's coming in that is going to be absolutely inundated with budgets, with trying to take care of Medicaid problems and education problems. The only thing I want is for someone to have looked at it, and before that money is just dissipated among all the local political entities down there, look at it and say, if you had this much money, what would be the best use of it? Is the best use to build a resort center, convention center, so people don't go to Destin? Or should you do something like set up a reinsurance program for the people who are being charged such extremely high rates because they live down there today? Should you take this money and come in and help them with reinsurance to the point that you can build some stability into the insurance market? I don't know, but I also know the next governor won't know. But at least this will give him some ideas.
You tried to reform the tax structure of the state with Amendment 1. It passed the legislature. Then
sure.
It voters rejected it. If you had to fight that fight again, what would you do differently?
Make it less complicated. There's 100 things you could do differently, and we did. And we began to change it. Back when the state was really on a roll economically, we passed the first reduction in income tax in Alabama's state's history. Did we go as far as I hoped we could go? No. But I mean, when it got to the point that you got Mississippi that doesn't charge an income tax until you reach $19,000 or $20,000, and we were at two, it's just not right. And we moved it from $2,000 to $2,900 to whatever it was, up to around $12,000, $12,500. And we tried again to push it up to $15,000 or $16,000. I'd still love to get it there.
Do you think, though, in terms of like a fundamental reform of the tax system, like Amendment 1 was, I mean, do you still think that that's important?
I don't know that you can pull it off because of just the amount of influence. You know, we live in a 30-second soundbite. I mean, if you look at most of the candidates today, you got to determine who your candidate is going to be in a 30-second commercial. We found the same thing revolved around a lot of the debate in Amendment 1.
Come January, the entourage that's standing outside, they're going to go away. The motorcade goes away. The plane goes away. What do you look forward to once you leave office?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Somebody asked me today, you know, what are you going to miss the most about it? I don't know. Probably parking more than anything else. I mean, one of the great things about being governor is you always pull up to the front door. Now I'm going to have to walk from the back of the parking lot up, but I mean this in all sincerity. I'm really going to miss it, but I do want to stay involved. I still want to stay involved with Republicans and Democrats, people who just understand what the possibilities are with education. Economic development's the same way. I mean, there are little communities all over the state of Alabama that have got a population of 15, 20,000 people, and they can't afford to go out and hire an economic developer. I would love to just see what I could do to help them free of charge, just to go out and see if we can get a little plant that'll work 200 or 300 people to come into their town. Wouldn't be that big a deal to get it to go into Mobile. But you get one little plant, works 300, 400 people to go into one of these little small communities, and it really does and can, has the potential of reforming the whole community.